This is Chris Dufault. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Crookston, Minnesota. I'm pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Jamie Dickerman. We'll also be hearing a report from Jay Rader at Dakota Fest in Mitchell, South Dakota. But first, we begin with Harvest Hotline. Harvest Hotline, sponsored by Amity Technology, U.S. Custom Harvesters, the North Dakota Mill, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Pre-pile harvest is underway across the Red River Valley, with conditions varying by location. Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association Executive Director Harrison Weber says growers in the north had decent results.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of variability out there in the Northern Valley. Conditions, I think, were pretty reasonable and in many cases quite awesome lifting conditions.
Weber says wetter fields created more challenges in the Southern Valley.
Tonnage-wise, I'd say, you know, kind of the low 20s, 21, 22, 23, 24, somewhere in there. Sugar, again, kind of a wide variety up northern part of the valley, a little stronger sugar percentages. I was hearing some 15 and a half, even. Down in the Southern Valley is a little different story around the Moorhead District. A lot of wetter conditions, and so guys were pulling trucks and using the beet carts and a little lower sugar content down there.
Weber adds that MnDAT growers are now starting their pre-pile and reminds everyone to stay safe with more trucks on the roads.
Minot area farmer Patrick Murphy just started with spring wheat harvest and is pretty happy with what's coming off the combine.
We just started a wheat last Friday, I think, or Saturday or something, and we've done about 500 acres now so far.
The quality is okay, decent protein, and then probably, you know, maybe, you know, a little less yield. We're probably in that 50 bushel plus range someplace in there, I guess, is where I'm thinking we're at.
Murphy says the canola isn't quite ready yet, but it's looking like a good crop.
The canola crop looks really good. I would say this year our wheat crop is probably a little less than last year, but our canola crop, I think, looks better than it was last year. It started getting some rain July 3rd, and it's been pretty nice ever since. So our canola really looks like it's filled well and stuff. So I'm thinking that canola's going to be pretty good. I would guess we're still 10 days to 2 weeks away on our desiccation. I think I talked to one of the guys, and I think some areas are getting about ready to start doing some desiccating if they want to. But I'm thinking most of ours will, by the time we get finished with our wheat and get there, we won't have to desiccate too much of it.
Crop conditions remain favorable in the Washburn, North Dakota area. Dakota Agronomy Partners sales representative Sheldon Leib says recent rains have been a boost for row crops.
The crop is looking really good. We've got a lot of moisture here in the last month, and it's really brought the corn and beans around. We're looking for a pretty good crop there. Wheat's kind of hit and miss. Some guys are, it depends on where the rains fell earlier.
Leib says farmers are reporting a wide range of results and should start planning ahead for next year with soil testing.
Anywhere from 35 to 80 bushel wheat right now is kind of what we've been hearing. Once we get this crop off, and being that it is, it's kind of been all over the board with the wheat, it's probably an excellent idea to get out there and soil test and see what we're going to need for nutrients next year. Right now we're hearing the price of fertilizer is probably going to be up from where it was at this time last year, and it's going to be key for profitability going into next year to get that soil test done and see what you really need.
And that's Harvest Hotline. Harvest Hotline, sponsored by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, the North Dakota Mill, Amity Technology, and U.S. Custom Harvesters.
Zahner Ag Hedge Chief Market Analyst Karen Ron is in her 12th year on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. Ron making 8 stops this morning north and east to Grand Island, Nebraska. The corn is averaging 204 bushels per acre on that route, down 1% from last year. The soybean pod counts are averaging 1,286 in that 3x3 foot square.
That's actually down 21% from this same route a year ago, down 5% from 2023, and actually up 12% from 2022. And I know that 2022 is a drought year, so you know, that year was a little bit you know, weird out here. But seeing it down 21% from last year, that's really surprising. I'm just not seeing a ton of pods on the plants, really. They've got decent moisture, a lot of moisture, actually a lot of mud in a lot of places out here. But I can't really explain why the beans aren't looking quite as good as I thought they would.
All the stops Braun made today were on land that is irrigated. However, those pivots have not been running.
Kind of a peculiar year out here. I mean, normally when we're out here on this Tuesday in Nebraska, all the pivots are running. I mean, you know, the last couple years have really been dry at this time. But not this year. And again, you're not really seeing any difference in the corn. So maybe it's going to come out in the end, you know, with the weight, the kernel weight, because that's something that we really can't measure right now. That's one thing that we cannot test against past years, because the formula that we use for yield is really just kind of based on an average, you know, assumption about you know, kernel weight. So we can't really directly compare that.
The western leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour wraps up tonight in Nebraska City, Nebraska, and will be moving through western Iowa tomorrow. The eastern portion of the tour, covering Indiana and Illinois today, will move into eastern Iowa tomorrow.
The Red River Farm Network is hosting its annual crop tour next week, surveying crop conditions in North Dakota and northwest Minnesota. There will be reports on air and online beginning Monday in central and western North Dakota. This is the seventh year for the Red River Farm Network crop tour presented by Pioneer.
Temperatures warm into the 80s through Thursday, with humidity building ahead of a cold front. Thunderstorms are possible as early as Wednesday night in the Devil's Lake area, with strong to severe storms possible across the region Thursday afternoon and evening. The main threats include wind gusts up to 60 miles per hour, golf ball sized hail, and frequent lightning. Conditions will turn cooler and mostly sunny by Friday.
President Donald Trump has begun planning a face-to-face meeting between Russian President Vladimir Putin and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to explore a path to end Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Trump also affirmed that the U.S. would support European security guarantees to prevent Moscow from reinvading Ukraine once the current conflict ends. During their second Oval Office meeting this year, Trump hosted Zelensky and top European leaders to energize stalled U.S.-led peace efforts. Following the discussions, Trump spoke at length with Putin to coordinate next steps in the international talks. Go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com, to sign up for the weekly FarmNet News newsletter. You can also download this broadcast and follow us on Facebook and X. It's all at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Well, it's day one of Dakota Fest in Mitchell, South Dakota. Red River Farm Network, as Jay Rader is there.
Visiting here with Scott Vanderwall, State President of South Dakota Farm Bureau and the National Vice President of Farm Bureau. And first day of Dakota Fest, and kind of a big deal. You got Secretary Rollins coming tomorrow. That's kind of neat and kind of fun to have.
Yeah, that's really an honor. You don't get to do that very often. And I heard a couple months ago already, she had over 700 requests for appearances. So that's a real honor to be able to have her here. And to team up with all three members of our delegation is going to be a great thing for people to hear about ag policy issues and the things that are going on.
Let's talk about Farm Bill a little bit. You'd mentioned there's some pieces and parts still kind of hanging out there, and you got to get some cleanup on some of these things on the national level.
Yeah, anything that didn't fit into the reconciliation past the BIRD Act, BYRD, has to be dealt with yet. And we're working hard to make sure that our people in Congress understand that the Farm Bill is not finished. They're not done with it, so they need to continue with that. The conservation things, and there's some other things that are important to farmers and ranchers. The crop insurance, I believe, is there. That's finished, and the support programs and safety net things and like that. And then another big thing, probably going to be the highest priority for Farm Bureau going forward here for a while, is labor issues and the broken labor system we have that doesn't allow, for instance, dairymen to use H-2A workers. They have no way to source legal, stable workers right now, and that needs to be fixed real soon.
Obviously, dairy is a huge part of the overall agricultural landscape in South Dakota, and that's got to be one of those really top-of-mind issues for those dairies out there that are just suffering to get that labor that they so desperately need.
That's exactly right, and I've had dairymen tell me the biggest threat to their operations is not financial, it's labor, lack of labor, and not being able to hire people to help. And obviously, it's a animal welfare issue. The cows need to be fed and milked every day. And if that's not done, that's not good.
Economic impact on the dairy production in South Dakota, it's a significant number.
It certainly is. The dairies are getting bigger and more plentiful, and it seems like we get too many cows for a while, and then a manufacturing or processing plant comes in, and I guess we need another one of them pretty soon. But it's been good for South Dakota. It's an opportunity for people that farm to provide silage and get the manure from the dairies, and it's been a pretty good thing.
This is Jay Rader for the Red River Farm Network.
The condition of the nation's corn crop declined slightly last week, while soybean conditions remain unchanged for the second consecutive week. Corn silking reached 97%, with 72% of the crop in the dough stage and 27% dented. Overall, 71% of corn was rated good to excellent, while 8% was very poor to poor. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says soybeans are also on track.
82% of this 2025 soybean crop setting pods by August 17th, exactly equal to the five-year average, 2 points ahead of last year at this time. And then soybean condition, we saw an extremely small decline in overall condition. In fact, the good to excellent categories were the same at 68%. A one-point jump in the very poor-to-poor ratings to 8%, up from 7% last week. Pretty similar to what we saw this time a year ago on soybeans. Looking at some of the individual states, we have just three in the Midwest where we have double-digit very poor-to-poor ratings for soybeans, led by Michigan and Illinois at 13%, Indiana 10%.
Meanwhile, the winter wheat harvest is nearly wrapped up at 94% complete, just behind the five-year average of 98%. As of August 17th, 36% of the spring wheat crop has been harvested, matching the five-year average and ahead of last year's 29%.
We did have a big 20% jump, meaning that one-fifth of the wheat was harvested in just the last week. The overall range is from 24% harvested in North Dakota all the way up to 70% in South Dakota. And we are still looking, since the harvest has not reached the halfway mark. We've got another week of condition numbers here showing, as we wind down the season, exactly half the crop, 50% rated good to excellent, 18% very poor to poor. Quite a disappointment on this crop, with over half the crop, 53% rated very poor to poor in Washington, almost half, or 48% very poor to poor in Montana. That is dragging those numbers down far below what we saw this time a year ago.
COFCO has booked 50,000 metric tons of new crop Australian canola. This will be China's first purchase of Australian canola in 5 years. China sourced nearly all of its canola from Canada in the recent past. However, a new 76% tariff on Canadian canola is shutting down that business. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Farmland sales slowed in the first half of 2025, but many of the transactions that did take place involved consolidation. Farmers National Company Senior Vice President of Real Estate Paul Shadig says the acres are staying in agriculture, they're just shifting ownership.
We see consolidation within those farmer operators. The farm operations continue to get larger. We see fewer of these small, they're still family farms, but they're not the small family farm that we came to know. And then we do see on the institutional side, we do see some consolidation where one fund might sell out to another fund and make a bigger fund. And we are seeing some of that.
Shadig says land values have held up well, but profitability will determine where the market goes in the months ahead.
If things kind of stay the same, I don't think we'll see much change. But if we see any hiccups that affect the farm economy in a negative fashion, I think we could see somewhat of a downturn in general. And, those geopolitical events, uncertainty, these tariffs and things like that are all playing a little part in our U.S. economy in general, but really have an opportunity to impact the ag economy.
Checking quotes for you now. September wheat Minneapolis is up 2.25 to 570. December Minneapolis 2.25 higher as well at 588.5. Chicago September wheat's down 4 cents to 498.75. September KC hard red winter wheat's down 5.75 to $5.25. September corn 2.75 lower, 380.25. December down 3 cents. March corn down 3.25. September soybeans down 7.25 to 10.13.5. November soybeans down 7 cents at 10.34.25. In Winnipeg, November canola is down $6.70 per metric ton to 6.45 even Canadian. On the cattle side of things, October live cattle is up 40 cents to 231.57. December lives up 32 cents. February 60 cents higher. September feeders up 225 at 353.17. October feeders up 290. November's 325 higher at 351.57. October hogs 12 cents lower at $90 even. December hogs 62 lower. This is the Red River Farm Network.